lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
And good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
That's me.
For show, we'll get to you. Show number 165, and we are broadcasting you live on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto, Canada, right here where it's pretty warm. And we're streaming to you live on the web at songtalk.ca/live-stream. That's where you can find us. Song Talk Radio is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about, you guessed it, the craft of songwriting. We have brand new songwriters. Sometimes we have established professionals. And doesn't matter, we always share tips, techniques, and cool things that we found out about songwriting. And then together we all become a little bit better at the writing of songs. I'm your host tonight, Bruce Harrett. And joining me, as always, we have one of the intrepid members, one of the other intrepid members of the Song Talk Radio.
I'm more intrepid than the other ones.
The other one's just, I don't know, he's on assignment somewhere. First of all, we have Mr. Phil Emery.
That is me.
He's on the board tonight.
Nice to be back, actually.
Oh,
I was away last week, if you didn't notice.
I didn't, actually. But filling in tonight for Neil Modi, who's on assignment at Ryerson, Carmen Toth. Welcome, Carmen.
Hey, Carmen. Well,
thank you so much for having me.
Okay, And you're a songwriter yourself.
Right? I am, and I've been on the show twice.
Right, there you go. That's all. During the show, you can send your comments and questions to Carmen and the gang here at Song Talk Radio on Twitter, and we'll share them with the audience in real time. Stop by our website if you like at some point, songtalk.ca, and you could find out how to be a guest on our show, because that's how our guest tonight found out about the show. Actually, you were at a meetup, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, our guest tonight is Emily Mack, and she tells us that as a little girl, she would make up songs so she could soothe herself to sleep. I guess there was a lot of construction noise in the neighborhood all the time, but yeah.
Oh, it was crazy.
Loud.
Yeah.
She knew that songwriting right away had a deep power to affect and change people. Today, she hones her craft by taking courses and workshops and going to songwriting circles like the meetup, Songwriters Roundtable. And there she learns as much from hearing other people's songs as she does from writing her own. Emily believes that great songs say things and tell stories that people really are dying to say in real life, but don't because they fear the repercussions. So you can take a risk with songwriting. And Emily says, in this day and age when we're becoming more machine and less human, more than ever we need music and art to connect us with our hearts and souls. Yes!
I like
Emily
that.
Mack,
yeah.
Welcome to Song Talk. Say it, sister.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so happy to be here.
So when did you actually start writing tunes? Do you remember what age you were?
Like 18, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had your guitar. Did you have a guitar?
No, actually. I would do it just, like, I'm a vocalist first, so pretty much a cappella, and I would, back then, I would keep notes in a little notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And a little voice recorder with the mini tape.
I remember.
And over time, I've learned a little bit of piano, but I'm still a very basic piano player. So I'll kind of get the chords down and then give it to a really good player to make me sound even better.
Did you bring a good player tonight?
Oh, yeah. I brought an amazing player, Joel.
Joel, yeah. Okay, cool. So when you started writing at 18, do you say you wrote the lyrics, but you didn't know how to write the tune itself, or you just make up a tune and record it?
Kind of usually lyrics and melody would come to me together. Mm. Occasionally it would just be the lyrics. And then from there, it was mostly an a cappella thing. But then once I did learn some piano, it helped to ground my songs a lot more.
Were you in a band?
I've been in a few bands, yeah.
All right.
I was in a cover song band, a blues band, and a funk band. I've done a lot of singing professionally, but it's been really nice over the last few years to do more original stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're on a singer-songwriter track right now then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So what was your favorite kind of music to perform when you were, before you got into writing your own stuff?
Ooh, that's hard to say because I've done so much different stuff. I mean, I love blues. Give me a slow blues.
Yeah.
But it was also really fun. I was in a 10-piece funk band, And we got to perform like at Beaches Jazz Festival and stuff, and with the horns and everything. It's fun to sing those big songs.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
What's, how did you start learning how to write?
Well, I don't know, like, exactly. Like, at first it was just intuition, and I was into acting for a while, so I think, like, I like doing, like, Shakespeare and different plays and that sort of stuff. So I think that writing just whet my appetite to want to write, because okay. It's so good. But I've done different songwriting courses over the years, and I try to keep educating myself and go to meetups and songwriting nights.
So you took some courses to understand a little bit of the structure of a song and the chord changes and things like
Where did you take the courses?
I did one at Humber years back. I've also done the Coursera songwriting workshop with Pat Pattison.
Yeah. And Pat Pattison.
That is great, and I've done some workshops with him. Recently, I did one online, actually, with this lady from New York, Carrie Cole, who's pretty amazing, and she did this one. It was called Signature Songwriting, and it's all about using your own personal story and experience to write songs, and I learned a lot through that as well. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. So did you write some songs that really tell your story, that reveal some things about
you? Yeah, I did. And then also I felt like I got better at rewriting, which is such an important skill. Yeah.
Now that you're sort of a bit of a new songwriter in some ways?
In some ways, yeah.
An established performer, but a sort of a new songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything, was there sort of an aha moment that when you were sort of learned something, you went, oh, that's what you're supposed to do?
There's a few things, like, in time, like, at first it was just like, oh yay, I think I wrote a song that's good, or all right, and then the bar gets a little higher, and then I was like, okay, I really need to think of writing more for my voice and what suits my voice.
Ah, so you were writing stuff that didn't suit your voice.
Was it
the
wrong key?
Yeah, I think I've gotten better, maybe just at writing melodies, but I still feel like I'm learning so much, and recently I've been doing some co-writing, and I found that has really been helpful as well.
How do you find your co-writes?
Amazing. I've been writing with this guy from New York, and we do it online through Skype. His name's Jay Stoller, and he's really, really good musician and songwriter, so I find when you work with people who are better than you, it just kind of like ups the level of what you can do.
Yeah. You always say that no matter what situation you're in, you always want to be the stupidest person in the room because then you'll learn the most. You never want to be like the top of the above because it's just going to frustrate you, you know?
I find that most people are better at music than me, and so it's easy. not entirely, but so what's your motivation for writing? Like, do you wait? This is the question we usually ask, and it's like some people sit down and write a song every day. Mm-hmm. We had one fellow in here, he took a project, he wrote a song a day. His name's Alon Rodovinsky, and he did that for a whole year, and he said it was a great exercise. Some people wait until they're inspired. They're on the subway, and they're reading the paper, and a line will come to them, and they'll just go for it. Are you more wait for the inspiration?
I would love to write a song every day. Sometimes I don't have enough time every day. I definitely do feel like I get inspired a lot, so I keep notes in my phone. But I try to write pretty regularly because I find it's like any muscle. The more you do it, the more things come to you. And I don't think if you want to do it professionally, at least in my opinion, like I don't want to sit around and wait for inspiration. So I'll often set a clock to like for 3 hours or something and lock myself in a room.
Oh, cool.
That's a great idea.
Otherwise, I get distracted.
Now, you said you were a performer. You're an actor still? Or
I used to do acting. I kind of put that on the back burner so I can focus on music.
Did the acting career help you in your songwriting? I know it could help you in your singing because you've probably studied voice to be an actor. But in the songwriting, did the theater help you at all?
It does in the sense that I like to kind of visualize with a song, like, what do I want people to feel? What do I want the audience to get from this? Kind of similarly to how you would like break down a script and be like, what is the reaction I want? So yes, I think it's definitely helped.
And a story arc.
Yeah.
So do you like to write, have something through the song where there's an arc, where there's a beginning, middle, and end in the song. At least that's what you aim for.
Ideally.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Doesn't always happen.
Doesn't always happen, but yeah, I do like that.
And there's room for songs that don't go anywhere except they've got a great beat.
Yeah.
Or a great groove, right?
Are you a melody person first, or a lyric person, or?
Some combination of the two. I think. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, that's right.
some people we've had in here, like, they start with the bass. Like, their bass, they pick up the bass guitar. Like,
That's how I write most of the time. It's a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah.
I was a guitarist for many years. Well, I still am, but I started playing bass in bands because bass is actually a lot more fun. And actually, it's a really freeing way to write because you just have the root notes, so you're not actually set to play a major or a minor, because it could be anything that you want. So it's very freeing in some ways.
Cool.
You know, so it's and you don't necessarily have to be a great bass player because you're just playing the roots. Mm. So it's something to definitely explore.
And me, I always start with the lyrics. I was a lyricist first for many years, and I had a career as a writer for many years, writing corporate stuff, but also advertising jingles, etc. Right.
Oh, cool.
So I have not broken myself from the pattern of writing the lyrics first. I just don't know where to go with that, and I want to. I'd probably do it in a co-write, so just sit with guitars and just come up with a riff or something. So for me, it's always the idea, then the lyric, and then as I write the lyric, like you, I start to hear a melody coming to my mind, a style or a melody, and then yeah. What about you, Carmen?
Well, you've covered a lot of the questions that I had, so good job, guys.
No, but what about you and your style of writing? Like, how do you start off? Do you start off with a hook or a lyric?
It can be either, actually. Often I find that melody and lyrics don't come at the same time for me, like very, very rarely. So I can't force myself to write a song. I have to be inspired, but I do keep a journal regularly.
Oh, cool.
And also in conversation, I will find myself just like, I'll get on my phone and I'll be like, say that again, and I'll just type it out. Or I'll be like, just speaking to my phone. And I just like randomly record things all the time. So I do that a lot. I was going to ask, is there any music that really you find very, very inspiring? Like any artist in particular you find really makes you want to write? And I think you know one artist I'm going to bring up for sure, because we're both big fans of this lady. How has she influenced your writing? Because surely she must have.
Who's she?
Well, I think you're talking about Stevie Nicks.
Oh, yes, and you're dressed like her, too. It's too bad you guys can't see this excellent outfit she's wearing. I'm going to try and get a picture.
Yeah,
we'll
have to
get
post
a picture, and we'll put it on the website. Yeah.
Well, she's definitely influenced me a lot. She's a very, like, empowered and strong woman, and her lyrics, the way she sings, the way she performs, all of it has definitely influenced me.
For those who don't know Stevie Nicks, can you tell us a bit about what you know about her? Because I don't know a lot.
How can you not?
Really?
Like, for shame. I grew up listening to, like, Fleetwood Mac and then her solo music.
I just did that for our listeners at home who don't know Fleetwood Mac. We have all ages of listeners,
well,
and a lot
true
of young people will not know 70s music at all.
If you don't know Fleetwood Mac,
go check it out.
You have to go YouTube Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. Yes.
Like now?
Right now.
And Stevie Nicks was the lead singer.
Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac. And her big song was?
Dreams and Rihanna.
Rihanna, I guess that was that their biggest hit? They had
Landslide.
Tons. Oh, Landslide. Yeah, that has been covered by Smashing Pumpkins and a whole bunch of people.
Dixie Chicks.
Great song.
Why don't we hear a song?
That's a good idea.
Cool.
Speaking of a song, and you're going to do Back to the Rhythm.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we'll just adjust your mic.
Right. One moment, please.
Do not adjust your mic.
So Emily is a power singer and has a very commanding presence, and she likes to stand when she sings.
Yeah, that's
which
right
is why we are adjusting the microphone.
Just right a little bit of a diva. Just
all right, here we go.
It's as deep as we get here.
We got Joel on piano, and we got Emily Mack on vocals. This is a song she wrote called Back to the Rhythm.
The rhythm of a rock and roll. Let's go back. Aretha Franklin and Rolling Stones digging from Otis Redding to Etta James. Rick Allen and the Swampers and the Studio Fame. Let's go back to the rhythm, but back to the rhythm, back to the rhythm of a rock and roll. Let's go back to the rhythm, but back to the rhythm, back to the rhythm and soothe your soul.
That was Emily Mack, Back to the Rhythm, her song, and Joel on piano. That was cool. Boy, I was just thinking as I listened to that, boy, does that need a rhythm section.
Yeah. I had the same thought.
No offense. I mean, your left hand was doing a good job, but I was thinking, like, boom, boom, you know, the drums just kicking, yeah. You know, and the shakers and the cymbals and everything going. Have you done that with a band?
Yes, a few times.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, so was it like, awesome with a full drum kit and
yeah
and any horns or was it just guitars?
No, although I do have a recording of it with some horns on it, so someday it would be amazing to perform live with horns and background singers.
Yeah,
big full band.
Because I think the thing is, when you're doing it with one thing I would recommend when you're doing it just piano and vocal is maybe have a tacit, have a breakdown somewhere in there and just go to silence and then and then pick it up. Like, keep the beat going in your head, but then just make them think you're ending it, and then bring it back in again, just for a dynamic shift there, right?
I like that.
So you've got, so you're telling the story of the old-time Muscle Shoals as a studio down in Alabama, right, where they recorded a lot of rock. And all these artists that you mentioned, all the ones that recorded there, is this a bit of a story of Muscle Shoals, is it?
Yeah.
You saw the movie?
Oh, yeah.
It was great, wasn't it?
I was very inspired by it.
Yeah.
This song, it's actually funny because I had one version of this song and it didn't have Muscle Shoals in it, the first version.
Oh, really?
But it was still back to the rhythm. It was still about going back to old school music, but it wasn't as specific. And then I got a Factor demo grant for it, but I just wasn't feeling the verses. And then I watched that movie and I was like, inspiration came in, and I'm very inspired by Muscle Shoals. Like, I already knew I was inspired by it, by what was made there, but when I saw the movie, it was like on a whole other level. So I kind of started to think it would be cool to not only like pay respect to those artists that mean so much to me, but also I think it's really neat that in this little town in Alabama that so much amazing music is made. I mean, there's something in the river, in the earth.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think what was really interesting to me was that these were white guys, and a lot of the black artists came down from Detroit, right? Mm-hmm. Their managers brought them down, and they didn't know what to expect, right?
Yeah.
So there's these good old boys, I guess you could say, in those days, pumping out these tunes. And was that the one that had the lady bass player, or I'm thinking of another one?
No, you're thinking of The Wrecking Crew.
The Wrecking Crew,
That's
okay.
That's another good one, too.
But anyway, these guys were just solid, solid. Mm-hmm. And if you get a chance to see, is it called Muscle Shoals, the
I believe so, yeah.
DVD?
Yeah.
Check it out, because it's a really cool story of both the black and white thing, the southern thing, the black artists like Etta James and Otis Redding, Aretha, coming down to Alabama.
But one thing we need to mention is that you can actually download the lyrics for the two songs tonight at songtalk.ca on the show notes, or actually on the front page now.
Yeah.
So download and follow along.
Yeah, you don't even have to download. You can just watch.
We have to.
Look, we posted them. Like, scroll down, but we posted your lyrics on them on the
sweet.
Page.
Yeah.
So people can see. And you've got a nice bridge here. A little bridgey thing happening, right? So that's where sometime around the bridge, like out of the second last chorus bridge and back into, I'd do something to just cut it and come back in. Somehow.
I love that idea. I'm gonna steal that idea.
Well, sure. I mean, that's the idea. But if you had horns, that you'd probably do bum 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 bum. Bring the bass back in. But when you've just got the piano.
But Carmen, what do you think?
Well, I think you should do the Stevie Nicks thing and use a tambourine when you play it with with the keyboardist.
Sweet, yeah. Right.
I was like, stop myself from just blurting that out earlier, you know, or shakers. But, of course, a tambourine would look fantastic. So I got to ask this song, just take those old records off the shelf. Is this song at all influenced by that song?
Yes.
That's the first thing. Okay.
Yes.
It's kind of a very, very similar message, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the music today just ain't got the same soul. Gave me that old-time rock and roll.
For sure.
Do you think the kids today, you know, when they're 40 and 50, will they be sort of saying, give me some Kanye West. That's the way music used to be.
Well, they might.
Yeah, that's true.
It'll be interesting to see what lasts, you know.
Yeah.
It's always, you never know what's going to last and what's going to come back, right? I mean, our era brought back oldies radio. So oldies radio was 60 songs came back in the 80s, right?
But oldies songs now are the Sex Pistols.
That's true. There's actually a big 80s resurgence right now because my generation who grew up with it, and the music is starting to sound like it again, including my own music.
Ooh, cool.
Not that I'm doing a personal plug here, but like I'm just noticing it. Like every time I turn on Indie 88, I'm like not sure what era I'm in.
What is the signature sound of the 80s, you think?
There's a lot of synth going on, a lot of keyboard sounds, and then there's electronic drums,
too. You'll be working a lot.
I'll have to buy a Yamaha DX7.
Okay.
Well, you know, and it's also, there's that vocal style, you know, in the 80s. Don't forget my love. Like, everything was very stylized back then.
Yeah, I'm guilty of doing some of that, too.
Yes. No, well, I had very spiky hair back then, so.
I would really like to see that. You got to post
a
throwback
now
Thursday.
Now you have to post a
photo. No, I will.
Phil was a punk.
I was.
Serious punk artist. So,
one thing I was thinking, going through looking at your songs, because your choruses are the same all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I've noticed some people do, which I always think is really cool, is they keep the basic, like maybe the first and the last lines of the chorus, but they kind of add a little sort of variation. Sometimes, like, you have back to the rhythm, let's go back to the rhythm, back to the rhythm, back to the rhythm of rock and roll. And then maybe like add a little sort of variation, like da 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 da. Back to the rhythm of Soothe Your Soul, just to kind of give it a bit of variation and a bit of movement between each verse. Sometimes people can kind of do that. It kind of adds just a bit of, especially on the third verse, I think sometimes it can, I'm always torn if you should put the variation on the second chorus or if you should put in the third.
Well, you can do both. Well, I mean, you come to some sort of resolution.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing in pop music is they often will do what I call a copy-paste. So they'll do a chorus, a hooky chorus, and it's exactly the same next time you hear it, right? Because they want radio airplay and they want to... But this kind of thing, there's not a lot of lyrical stuff happening in the chorus. It's repetitive. There's not a lot of melodic shift.
Mm.
One of the other things that some people do with their music is they actually keep the same chord progression in the final chorus and sing a different melody over top of it.
Oh, yes.
Not just riffing, but actually a new melody that fits with that chord progression.
Yeah, U2 does that all the time.
It's a famous U2 technique.
Yeah, once you realize it, you're just going, oh, my God, they're doing it again. Oh, my God, they're doing it again.
It's their signature.
I never realized that. Now I'm going to have to go back and listen.
It does. And it works really well. And actually, it does make it sound a bit more anthemic, though. It's a certain kind of quality of the music. And sometimes, I don't know if it works, but it's...
What do you think? Have you tried that, Carmen?
Have I tried that? I've tried all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Like, and I tried for when I played for you guys suggested a part that I only sang at the very end to bring that in much, much sooner. And then when I was working with my producer, he said, yes, you wrote a hook. You just wrote it at the end of the song. They're right. They're actually right. You have to put that more throughout
the
song.
We were actually right?
You were
on Song Talk Radio?
Absolutely right.
Oh, my God.
And you don't really always know what your hooks are because, you know, the famous story is above Layla. Eric Clapton's, you know, biggest hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that da 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 da
yeah.
That was actually something that was supposed to be buried way down in the mix.
Oh, that's awesome.
And by accident, someone knocked the fader up, and they went, wow, that's great. But imagine that song without that hook. It's not
wow.
a song.
Oh, happy accidents are awesome.
Yeah. So it's, you never know what your hook is going
to
be.
I don't tend to have, because I'm not a really accomplished guitar player. I'm a rhythm guitar player. So that kind of thing, I need to collaborate, I think, with a lead guitar to have a melodic hook, right? Or a, that's a guitar hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And,
or a vocal hook, you know.
What do you two songwriters here, we've got both Carmen and, what do you think about this thing that's happening in the last few years of a lot of more of the whoa, whoa, ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, oh, like it seems like to be part of every song you have to have that part that's an ooh, ooh, whoa, whoa.
It's almost like a back to basics because that's how it used to be and what I used to call, because my dad would play it at top volume on Saturday morning to get me out of bed. I would call it his bop, she bop music. Stuff from the earliest 50s and 60s. So I think if we've got a lot of like just
doo-wop.
It's so drunk people can sing along it so that it can be played loud and
hard.
As my dad always says to me, Karen, if you're going to write a hit song, it's got to be with lyrics a drunk can remember.
That's a really, really
that's a good tip.
That's a great tip.
It's the most unusual tip we've had.
That's probably really true.
So you've, Emily, you've actually done well here because do have like the chorus definitely is sing along for sure.
I can hear them.
I was impressed you typed it out all these times and you could just written chorus because it's the same.
That's true.
Because I'm all about efficiency.
That was for us.
If you look close, there's a little typo here and there, but don't look too close.
Oh, well, okay.
Now everyone's gonna look.
I'm also an advertising copywriter and I actually did find one in the other song. So,
thank God. Yeah. Yes, well, that's good. We didn't know we'd have that extra service tonight. But I think when you're singing a song that is back to the rhythm, the other suggestion I would do in terms of your vocal treatment is play with the rhythm, like play the scan of the lyric on the line, right? So you're going back to the rhythm, back to the rhythm, back to the rhythm, and but you could go back to the rhythm, back to the rhythm. But you gotta go back to the rhythm, to the rhythm.
That can be a hard thing to do if you don't have drums to play off of. You know, if you don't have that really strong
snare.
Well,
the piano player can keep the beat going with the left hand, right, or something, you know. But I would try that. I would do a bit of scat-like things, you know, and mix it up, because it is a bluesy tune anyway. Mm-hmm.
Right? And you've got the voice who can do it.
Yeah.
You know,
chops.
Yeah.
I had a thought, since it's all rhythm, you could even, like, you know how Adele, she has that one in Rolling in the Deep, she's got a whole verse where it's just percussion and her voice, because it's rhythm, right? You could try that too. You could try that one of your choruses, and then in the bars, right, get everyone to sing, or the venue,
cowbell or some bonk, 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 and you do.
Or you do like the, you know, the double foot stomp and a clap.
Yeah, or get people to clap along with you. It's something to consider trying, maybe, because it's like rhythmically focused.
We're going to hear a little message now from Carmen for you listeners out there in Radio Land, and take it away, Carmen.
For those just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM. And tonight, our guest is Emily Mack. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio or via email at feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share your thoughts in real time. And you can find links to all the products, books, and web surfaces we mention on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And coming up on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, we have Sean Pattison on April 4th, Charlotte and Sarah on April 11th. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup on Thursday, April 20th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transact Club. If you want to share a song, get there by 6:30 to get on the list. It's free to join on Meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details.
Thank you. We got an email, and we love getting emails, from friend of the show, Mike McInnes, who was on one of our shows. Yeah. With regards to Bruce's comments about artists of different colors coming to record at Muscle Shoals, Pattison Hood touches on it in his song Ronnie and Neil by his band, the Drive-By Truckers. Pattison Hood is actually the son of the original bass player of the MS Rhythm Section.
Muscle Shoals Rhythm Section. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Some trivia there.
Michael knows everything about Like, he knows.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got.
Yeah, he was a guest host one night here.
Yes.
I got to check out this song. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So your second song is also, is it also in the rhythm and blues style?
Yeah.
Is this a new phase for you, or is it something you've always, when you were...
Kind of always.
So when you were like, when you were like 6 years old and you're trying to soothe yourself to go to sleep, you'd be going, whoa, whoa, yeah. Oh, baby. No?
Maybe I might have been maybe more not. Lullaby-ish.
Okay.
Back then.
But this interest in R&B been around for a while?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, my dad grew up in Windsor, which is across the river from Detroit.
Yes.
So I grew up listening to Motown.
Oh, yeah. That goes deep.
I feel like it's in my blood.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
In Motown, I mean, they were like just the masters. I mean, it was definitely a factory of... songs. They had like, I think like 10 writer couples that would just be, I think you had to write like 5 songs a day.
Oh my God.
At the end of the week, they'd go through them and they would narrow them down and then bring them to a demo stage and then take those. And it was like this huge factory that they had going, even though, and that's why there's so much great music out of it, because they were actually writing hundreds of songs.
Well, that was the Wrecking Crew story from Detroit, right? They were the band in Detroit at Berry Gordy's,
Funk Brothers.
Thank you, Joel. That's the Funk Brothers. So actually, 3 movies about 3 different
studio Standing
bands.
In the Shadows of Motown, a fantastic, fantastic movie.
Oh, okay.
As Bootsy Collins doing Do You Love Me, which is worth the money anyways, because it's Bootsy, you know?
Yeah.
Standing in the Shadows of Motown. Okay, well, check it out. Why don't we hear another song? Would you like to do this when it's gone?
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to just readjust the microphone.
Yeah, well, this is important to see, because it's radio. You can't see it as important.
Yes.
All these exciting technical things.
It is true. It's great.
There we go. All right, so we're going to listen to When It's Gone by Emily Mack.
Try to make him a man. Too many times, same mistake. Lord, have mercy on me, for heaven's sake. Are you the type of guy that's only gonna see what he's got when it's gone, when it's gone? Do I have to pack up all my things and leave? Say so long, so long, baby, I'm gone, baby, I'm gone. Now I'm drinking whiskey straight from the well, digging a hole right down a hill. Oh, well, don't you worry about me, baby, live your life wild and free. Are you the type of guy that's only gonna see what he's got, when it's gone, do I have to pack up all my things and leave, say so long, baby I'm gone, baby I'm gone. Watch me walk away. Oh, baby, oh, baby. What? baby, I'm gone.
All right.
Woo.
When It's Gone, Emily Mack. Thank you. That was very
that was
cool.
A
very
really cool song. Yes, yeah. Indeed.
Yeah. Just down a little more there, I think. Yeah, down a little more. We're doing a mic adjustments here, live.
Live.
To CJRU.
It's the excitement of live.
Live.
Well, not live television. Live radio.
Live radio. Well, that was cool. So I like this. I like the start. They say that the first lyrics are the most important in a song, yeah. And it's not surprising. You're trying to hook people in. It's like the first 60 seconds in a movie or TV show. I've been to a movie and it's the first 5 minutes is really bad, and you go, "It's got to get better." It doesn't,
it never does.
They put their best stuff at the front. But anyway, you've got this. Here we go again. I found a boy, and I'm going to try and make him a man. The same thing over and over, and I think that's really cool because. This is a woman who's falling for the immature man, right?
Yeah.
The wrong guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he looks good or he talks well or something, right?
That happens, with me a lot.
This song, actually, for me, hit pretty close to home. I have had this relationship. I think a lot of women have, but I completely had this relationship. And yeah, same thing, the first line, I'm like, oh, yes.
Found a boy, trying to make him a man.
Yeah, I didn't succeed either.
Well,
did you? Obviously not, because you wrote the song.
I got news for you. It never does.
No, they got to do that on their own. That's the problem.
Yeah,
right?
And you can't change anymore.
And that never happens, by the way. So just,
Well, there's hope. Not all men stay boys, though. Some grow up. Like, yeah. I matured in my 50s.
Oh, good.
It's never too late, right?
I'm wearing Converse All-Stars until I die.
So the thing is here, that we're gonna give you some feedback, and I'll throw it over to you, Carmen, right after. But my feedback, again, is that you've got a chorus repeated 4 times, almost note for note. Now, you did some variation in the fourth chorus, the third repeat of the chorus. You did variation on the melody. You let it roll a little bit. I think my challenge for you on a rewrite, if I was going to co-write with you, would be to let the chorus evolve lyrically. Right? So have it carry the story, because it's what, I mean, the verses tell the backstory a bit. I think the choruses are an opportunity. Like in pop music, you just repeat the chorus over and over again. But this is beyond pop music. This is story music. This is blues, right? Mm-hmm. This is like a gritty Etta James stuff, right? The other thing you could do is you could just have the piano playing and you start talking. Well, I took that boy and tried to make him a man, but it didn't happen. There's no way.
I've always actually wanted to do one of those songs.
Well, do it.
I'd love that.
But the thing is, are you the type of guy who's only going to see what he's got when it's gone? So once, I guess what I'm saying, Phil and Carmen, is that once the listener hears that and gets it, I think they deserve to have something happen next time, just slightly to catch them off guard.
Yeah.
Because to me, the hookiness of a song is about it's constantly surprising you.
Mm.
You think it's going to go right and it goes left. Mm. You think it's going to go up and it goes to silence.
Yeah.
And then it comes back from silence, not loud, but really quietly. So constantly interrupting the expectation keeps the ears on the edge of their ears.
So I want to actually ask a question about what do we think is the hook?
Where's the hook?
When it's gone, it's gone.
That's what I thought.
I was singing it after hearing it twice.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I was actually going to ask, do you have harmony vocals on this song? Because I was hearing a whole bunch of them.
Oh, definitely... I'd love to hear what you heard, because I have to say, like, for the most part, I don't hear harmonies.
Oh, I heard
I'd love to hear harmonies.
I do sing harmonies.
Can you do it right now?
Yes.
Okay, let's try it.
Go, Joel.
The chorus.
Sure.
Here we go. Take the chorus.
This is trust.
Are you the type of guy? Here we go.
I apologize in advance.
4.
Are you the type of guy that's only gonna see what he's got, when it's gone? Do I have to pack up all my things and leave? Say so long, baby, I'm gone. Baby, I'm gone.
Very cool. I love that.
And that's something you can do, like when you have a repetitive chorus, naturally when you have a good producer, your arrangement will cover it, because you'll do a build through the choruses and you'll add instruments. But the thing is, I want to challenge you as a lyric writer, because I think there's a lot of story in you and there's a lot of guts and passion in you. Mm-hmm. And I'd like you to see if you could write something that tells a story and it evolves through the chorus. It's just a challenge.
The line, do I have to pack up all my things and leave? That could maybe evolve. Like you could, if you, for an earlier one, you could try a different variation of that. Like just something else that the guy did. Yeah.
All the different things, the evolution of the different things you do before you leave.
Like the ways that you're getting angry.
Do I have to shout and scream at you all night?
Do I have to leave the toothpaste,
squeezed from the middle? What am I going to do to wake you up?
Do I have to put all your stuff out in the front lawn?
Yeah,
burn
it. And then it could become a fun thing of how far will she go before she actually leaves, right?
You know, it's interesting because you have a bit of a curse, and the fact is your voice is so strong that you can actually just kind of vamp on nothing, and it kind of sounds like a song, but the problem is it won't be a song. Yeah. And that's what I've been to a lot of bands, and the singer is fantastic, and going, that's great. And then you're going, okay, there's no song here. It's just the person going, enjoying that fantastic voice. And I think because you have, it's basically the same thing all the way through. But you have a real spot here for kind of a variation, like a maybe going up to a fifth or a fourth, or what is it, a minor, E minor type thing?
The key?
Yeah.
C minor.
C minor. But you have the watch me walk away, oh baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's prime for a variation to kind of change the musical center. And that'll kind of cleanse the palate. So that when you come back into the chorus of when he's gone, because that's the core. I mean, that was the hook. That's kind of grabbed me. And you can actually do more with that because that's the hook and that's what people are going to want to hear. It will become that much more stronger when you come back into that chorus of when he's gone, by having that variation. Because right now it's all sort of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you get to the last when he's gone, like we've kind of been there.
Right, yeah.
You could try going up an octave too. Like, I think your range is probably really good. I was hearing that, like, just do it really, like, just going, hitting a really, really big note on when it's gone.
Yeah.
And yeah, you,
that'd be
okay.
cool.
You're smiling at me like you know what I mean, so that's fantastic. Oh, yeah.
The problem with octave, though, is octaves will give you a dynamic change, but it won't give you a musical center change.
Mm.
And that's something people say, oh, well, it changed the octave. That adds energy and drama, but it doesn't change the musical center. So it'll sound the
same. You want to go with a modulation rather than an octave, because an octave is the same note, up eight, right?
Yeah.
So that's the thing there. The other thing is, you started out talking about stories, right?
Yeah.
So when I read the lyrics of the story, I go, boys, men are too boyish. I'm in a bad shape. He's the type that's not going to miss me till I'm gone. I'm a fool. Love is blind. Again, right? So you haven't, and this isn't criticism, this is supportive change for possible changes. My challenge to you is to write a song that has a beginning, middle, and end. Because this one's talking about a state of mind or a state of being, and then it just stays there, right? And the songs that really, I think, lift up off the page and into people really wanting to hear it again and again is when there's a story. Right, you take them emotionally somewhere too. So all the dynamics, you can use dynamics to cover up a repetitive song, but really the magic is when you use dynamics to support the emotional center and the musical center, having it move, right? So it's kind of like, here we go again, I'm a little bit PO'd and things aren't that great, and he's probably going to be exactly the same. But then you keep trying and you maybe escalate on the things you're doing to push, to say, pay attention, I'm really going to go. And then at the end, you're saying, and I'm never doing this again. This will not happen again.
That would be empowering.
But then she says, until the next one.
We got a tweet in from Sharon. Great lyrics, great music, great voice.
Oh.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
Sharon, we got a fan out there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sharon. Yeah, I think, what do you think, Carmen? Is it's kind of staying in the same spot through the song, right?
It is, and we pointed out where it had a chance to tell more of a story, which is like, do I have to pack up my things and leave? So it's like, maybe just challenge yourself, because when you lock yourself in a room for 3 hours a day to force yourself to write a song, maybe work on this and see if you can tell more of a story of things that he had done, when he took you for granted, and what actually drove you to pack up all your things and leave. But say it in a relatable way so that the guy won't know it's about him. him when he hears it on the radio.
And the last chorus could... Oh, here's an idea for the last chorus. Just this is almost smart, but it's not brilliant. But you are the type of guy who is only ever going to see what he's got when it's gone.
Oh,
so I am going, I am packing now. This is a suitcase, boy. Mm. This is a suitcase.
Wow,
I'm gone.
There is no musical change between the verse and the chorus. Is that right? It's basically the same vamp?
Yeah, just dynamic.
Just a dynamic
thing? Yeah, so you could do a chord change up
actually,
in the chorus.
I would actually, because your chorus is really, really strong, so you could actually maybe, I would actually maybe even double the length of it.
I would actually
make you, like, that needs to be its own thing.
Move off the C minor.
Because right now all you're doing is you're doing the same blues thing, you know, where it's like the guy on the guitar is playing the same chord, going, "My woman don't hit me and I can't find my dog." And you're doing that. But the chorus is strong enough with that hook that if you kind of make it its own thing and maybe give it its own chord structure, I think you would have just a kick-ass song.
What would you suggest? What are we doing in the verse? We're doing C minor and what, Joel?
Minor, it's just kind of a riff.
There's no other chord, it's a one chord song.
Until the bridge.
Are you serious?
Oh, those are great.
That's efficiency.
Oh, one chord songs are the best for jamming, though.
Oh, yeah, I know. But so the idea is you're saying, Phil, to do something other than C minor in the chorus?
Yeah, like make that into like think of a chorus, like, you know, go maybe modulate to the fifth or something.
Let's hear that, Joel. What would you do the fifth above C minor then?
Maybe G, I guess. G or F?
I can hear like a 1/4 thing.
Yeah. But then actually, like, then kind of move the chord progression to the to like the G or the F.
Right. Like starting the chorus there.
Yeah. Like our.
Yeah. Like.
Are you down or down? I can't see.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So you brighten the chorus that way too, right? Out of the C minor.
Yeah, I think a 5 minor chord is kind of nice.
Yeah. Although I would, like you're doing that kind of bluesy thing, I would actually even avoid those bluesy runs and make it a little bit more, kind of the bit more of a distinct change.
Oh, I liked those though.
Well, you know,
yeah, but you're changing it up into the chorus.
But you can do lots of that during the chorus, because this is another one you could expand, you know, because once it's really grow, you could do that.
Play around with a piano player and the lyrics and stuff. And the thing about this is, like, David Bowie said it best, right? About what, for me, what songs are about is changes, change, you know, because it's the changes, it's the chord changes, it's the lyric changes, it's the modulation, it's the surprise, the sudden rhythm thing that goes gunk, 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 and you go, oh, wow, what just happened? So you want to constantly be surprising people, right? Especially with a blues or R&B format, which is done, 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 done. So you're going to create your own, and this is your sound, is play around with mixing it up. Right? Mix it up.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good note, because we all know that everyone's attention span is pretty short nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Well, that
so
too.
So you have to capture people's attention as much as you can. And and I do always like, when I can, doing things a little differently. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is a lot of inspiration, not only for this song, but other songs that I may feel stuck on, because I'm like, oh, okay, I could try that. And
yeah, I think, you know, the basic building blocks of a song, like an A section and a B section, call it verse chorus, if you will, right? And then the C is the bridge, whatever. But to bring something different to the A section and the B section that makes them distinctly different, and that could be chord progression, lyrical treatment, go legato in the chorus and your staccato on your lyrics, like maybe the lyrics there's bump 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 in the verse, then go to the chorus and it goes ba 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 da ba ba da 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 legato, right? It's sustained, right? So when you bring that change, people go, and you talk about a chorus lift, right? You move out of the chorus and suddenly it's different vocal style, it's different chords, it's like got a different feel to it. Maybe it's the emotional core. The chorus, what do you think, Phil? The chorus is gonna carry the story?
I think the verse is gonna be the story.
Yeah. Progression.
And the chorus is going to be the thing where everyone sort of sings along with.
Yeah.
You know, but I think you definitely want, they always say, like, you should be able to chart out the dynamics of your song so that you have a verse and then you have your chorus has a lift. Like, you need to have a chorus of a lift or a drop. Like, you need to, like, but usually it's a lift and pop.
Yeah.
And then, you know, your second verse is maybe a little bit stronger than your first verse. And then it kind of ramps up. and then you have your chorus, then you have usually, this is a standard pop
to do a
structure.
Bridge, you bring it down.
So then if you do a middle eight, then you want to do something maybe interesting with the middle eight, and then you have your last chorus, which is really where you're kind of doing the big kind of, you know, screaming, and you've got that voice. Like I'm sure when, middle of a set, and you're, you could just be blasting stuff out, and, you know, it would just be incredible.
Yeah.
But that last chorus is when you want to blow it out.
Yeah.
Because if you start blowing it on the first chorus, you have nowhere to go.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So that's a dynamic piece. And certainly, when I've coached singers before, like nightclub singers and that, and I say, well, if you start there, and I'm pointing up the top, you can't see on the radio, but I'm at the top of the ceiling, where are you going to go, right? So, and also, I think songs are like a seduction. So you maybe call it a strip or whatever. You reveal a bit of the neck, and then a bit of the ankle. But
I've never heard this before.
Well,
this
it's also, but you are seducing the listener because you're teasing them with tension and release, right? I don't have to explain what I'm talking about here, right?
No. I think we all
know. So, and our listeners know, but that's the thing that's really cool about music is it's very about life and about life force, and it's about tension, release. And are we having to wrap up?
No, Carmen.
I had that thought when listening to your two songs is that your voice is so strong and maybe it's tempting to use it all the time, but maybe sometimes like just pulling it back and then really letting it rip and then pulling it back and really letting it rip. And like sometimes the emotion can come out really well when you actually make yourself sing quieter. Mm. Like at least I've found that. And another thing I was going to ask is like the status of these songs. Like you mentioned you got a Factor grant. Have you recorded these yet with a producer, studio, stuff like that?
Not when it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the Rhythm is partway done.
Cool.
So, it's a work in progress. But
very cool.
It's, it's great getting these notes because I feel like it's gotten closer to where I want it to be. But now you guys have given me a lot of things to work on.
All right.
You know what Carmen was saying about... the powerful voice and pulling it back. Janis Joplin, there's a really good, it's on Netflix actually, a really good a biography of her. And that was her issue because she was always like, at 12. And she worked with a producer and suddenly she realized she had this incredible range.
Mm.
And, especially if bands, if you're in a band and you want to sound big, play quiet.
You got to let it, like the ebb and flow, you got to let it build.
A producer did that to me, and like we were all, as musicians, because everyone's nervous, you don't want to be standing there doing nothing. So, of course, we're all overplaying. And then he stripped us right down, and people said, you guys are sounding huge, and we were playing almost nothing.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's because it's all the space around the notes.
It's that old saying, less is more.
Yeah. Yes, always.
Can I just say one more thing?
Of course, go ahead.
Working with a producer myself, one thing that he did with my songs, because we're talking so much about song structure, is my first chorus, he shortened my first chorus.
Oh.
So it would be like just a couple of, like my song Signs of Life, it's like it's just like a two-line chorus, and then the next time we do it a little longer, and the next time we do it, it's like the full length.
Nice.
So that might be something
nice
I don't know how long these songs are, but the whole radio length, and it's got to be like, 3 minutes exactly. It's something to play with so that they get a taste of it, and then, I get a little more, and now, at the very end, that's like the big finish.
Is 3 minutes exactly, is that sort of the thing now? Is that 3 minutes exactly, or?
Well, not my songs. I've got one 5-minute song on my upcoming EP, but the rest are like 3.5 minutes, and some almost 4 minutes. But three and a half minutes seems to be like the standard from what I buy a lot of music.
Can you try something? We have about a minute. I want to try something. Joel, just top the song quietly, and come in your quiet voice.
Okay.
Right now. Do, do, do.
Oh no.
Quieter. Here we go again. Here we go again. Yeah.
Oh no. Here we go again.
Ooh, nice.
Found me a boy. Try to make him a man. How many times? Same mistake.
Keep it simple.
Lord, have mercy on me for heaven's sake.
Now into the chorus a bit more.
Are you the type of guy?
Yeah, so you see where you can go.
Yeah.
So
that is
you've
beautiful.
Got a great quiet voice. Thank you, Joel.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a great quiet voice.
Use all the range.
And that contrast will freak people out when you go from that. And then they go to the big at the top. She's Janis Joplin all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Are we having to... We're out of time already.
It's time to wrap up. I hear the band playing. I think they want to go home.
That's all the time we have on Song Talk Radio. thanks, guys, for all coming in. This has been Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. And we'd like to thank our guest, Emily Mack, with her piano player, Joel.
Thank you so much.
Nice fun. Good fun with the piano and voice. And thank you, Carmen, for coming and sitting in for Neil tonight. Send us your impressions via Twitter if you can at Song Talk Radio, and you can send us an email at it's feedback@songtalk.ca. We're on Facebook, YouTube, at Song Talk Radio. You can come to the ye old website, songtalk.ca. Also subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes at songtalk.ca/iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. There's a great article coming out on how to write different kinds of parts of songs and stuff by Neil. It's really good.
Actually, but before you continue, how do we get more of your music?
Yes.
Emily Mack.
EmilyMackMusic.com. And if you sign up for my insiders list, I have some music for free.
Okay, Emily Mack, M-A-C.
Yeah.
Okay, you can find the links to all our products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on the resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. If you're in the Toronto area again, please drop by at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup on Thursday, April 20th from 7 to 10 at the Transact Club. It's free to join on Meetup, free to attend the roundtable. We'd like you to join up on Meetup just so we know who's coming so we can have enough beer. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details. We'd like to thank CJRU 1280 AM again, and you, the home listener, online or on podcast, wherever you are. If you're on Twitter, you can follow Phil at
The Phil Emery,
Bruce at Bruce Harrett, Emily Mack at
Emily Mack Music,
and Carmen.
Oh, Carmen Toth 111.
Carmen Toth 111.
Good thing. All right. And please stop by the website, as we mentioned, songtalk.ca. Browse past shows, there are 164 of them, and find out how you can be a guest on our show. And that's all we have for this show. Take care. Keep writing songs.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Night.